thinking about and remembering. The scripture says, "This is the Lord, the day hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And indeed, it is a beautiful opportunity that we have to meet in the house of the Lord, to praise his name, and to study his word and to hear his word brought to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I would ask that you would give your prayerful attention to our brother Leslie Case as he brings us the word of God.
Thank you, Brother Dan. Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's indeed a great pleasure to be with you this morning, as it is every time we have the opportunity. I would like to take as a text this morning from the second chapter of Peter, starting with the first verse. I pray that God will give me the ability to express the thoughts on my mind that he has put there over the last 3 weeks, that they will come together as he would have them to. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness, and reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. For the righteous man that dwelleth among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise the government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. The last few Sundays in the prayer services have been, I think, quite beneficial to me. And I couldn't help but think, as Brother Roger was speaking on, I think it was the 7th of August in the evening, I wish you could all have been here, but I know you weren't. And then Brother Don spoke last Sunday morning about humble being not the really clue or the source of serving God, but it was more or less a byproduct of the first and great commandment, to love God with all of our heart, might, mind, and strength, and the second, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And then Wednesday, I think this was a week ago Wednesday night, Brother Sean Sprague read a scripture, and I'm not sure which scriptures he read. He read several. And he made this comment: they didn't have the scriptures. But we have them. We have the scriptures. And what a joy it is And I sat there kind of bewildered when he said they didn't have the scriptures until the end, when he said, but they did have the scriptures. They did have the scriptures. It is well known that God has never punished anybody. Throughout those incidents that I've spoken of here, as well as some others, unless they knew what was right. On the morning of the evening of the 7th, when Brother Roger spoke, he gave us several readings out of the second book of Kings on the kingdom of King Josiah. He began to reign when he was 6 years old. Can't imagine that, but that's what the scriptures say. He reigned for 31 years. And when he's in the 18th year of his reign, they found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. It says that Josiah did what was right. And when they found the book of the law, they read it, and it came to Josiah, and they read it to him, and he was astonished. And he looked at the situation that he found in his kingdom, and he went in to the temple of the Lord, which was not only the building, but the people. And he got out everything that was not right according to the book of the law. All idolatry and evil, he took it out, and he burned their idols and destroyed them. And because of his actions, God promised him that he would be gathered home. He would not destroy the kingdom then, but he would be gathered home to his forefathers. Brother Roger said, why? Why didn't they know? Why were all these things in the kingdom? Why? How did it get there? The book was in the temple. They had no reason not to know what was in it. Why were they so evil? In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, starting with the 6th verse, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by the Father Jesus, glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect and establish you and strengthen and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Christ in Matthew told us in the 22nd chapter, it was not the Sermon on the Mount, but it's one of his last statements, 37th verse. That's the first and great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two law commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And when we really put the things that God has commanded us to do, those are the nucleus of every one of them. The 17th chapter of Matthew. 15th verse. I'm sorry, not 17th, it's the 7th. Beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence, wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. And also Paul, in that 20th chapter of Acts, For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I have ceased not to warn you, warn you everyone, night and day with tears. Why it happened. That's why they didn't know, because they thought different ways and chose a different path and ignored the plan of salvation. But what about our day? In Amos, the 8th chapter, he's one of the minor prophets. Eighth chapter and 11th verse. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Now they had the law, but they weren't hearing it. Perhaps it was not read to them. They did not have it as we do, the opportunity to each one of us have our own Bible and our own Book of Mormon, sometimes two or three. They didn't have that privilege because the printing press was not yet published or invented. But they did have those who taught it. And they had no excuse, as we have no excuse. Why was it brought to our attention? We are living in a perilous time, and Satan is no less making an effort to destroy and to lead us all astray. It's very important that we know what the Word of God is. I would like now to turn to talk about our day, the 12th chapter of 2 Nephi. Starting with the first verse. Well, maybe I'll start with the third verse. It shall come to pass in that day, and what day? The day when the Book of Mormon will be brought forth. It come to pass in that day that churches which are built up and not unto the Lord, when one shall say unto another, behold, I am the Lord's, and another will say, I am the Lord's. And thus shall every one that say that hath built up churches, but not unto the Lord. And they shall contend one with another, and their priests shall contend one with another, and shall teach with but their learning, and they shall deny the Holy Ghost, which giveth utterance, and shall deny the power of God and the Holy One of Israel. And they say unto the people, hearken unto us, and hear our precepts. For behold, there is no God today, for the Lord hath and Redeemer hath done his work, and he hath given his power unto men. Behold, hearken ye unto my precepts. If they say, there is a miracle wrought by the hand of the Lord, believe it not. For this day he is not a God of miracles, he hath done his work. Yea, there shall be many that shall say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and it shall be well with us. And there shall also be many which shall say, eat, drink, and be merry, nevertheless fear God. He will justify in committing a little sin. Yea, lie a little, take advantage of one because of his words. Dig a pit for thy neighbor. There is no harm in this. And all these things, for tomorrow we die. And if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes. And at last we shall be saved in the kingdom of God. Yea, and there shall be many which shall teach after this manner false and vain and foolish doctrines, and shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord. And their work shall be in the dark, and the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. Yea, they have all gone out of the way, they have become corrupt, because of pride, because of false teachers, false doctrines. Their churches have been corrupted, and their churches are lifted up because of the pride, they are puffed up. They rob the poor because of their fine sanctuaries. They rob the poor because of their fine clothing, and they persecute the meek and the poor in heart because of their pride. They are puffed up. They wear stiff necks and high heads, and become because of pride and wickedness and abominations and whoredoms, they have all gone astray, save it be a few who are the humble followers of Christ. Nevertheless, they are led in many instances. They do err because they are taught by the precepts of men. Oh, the wise and the learned and the rich that are puffed up in the pride of their hearts, and all those who preach false doctrines, and all those who commit whoredoms and pervert the right way of the Lord, woe, woe, woe be unto them, saith the Lord God Almighty, for they shall be thrust down to hell. Woe unto them that turn aside the just for a thing of naught, and revile against that which is good, and say it is of no worth. For they shall come that the Lord God will speedily visit the habitations of the earth, and that day that they shall be fully ripe with iniquity, they shall perish. But behold, if the inhabitants of the earth shall repent of their wickedness and abominations, they shall not be destroyed, saith the Lord of hosts. Behold, the great and abominable church, the whore of all the earth, must tumble to the earth, and great must be the fall thereof. For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must needs be stirred up to repentance. For the devil will grasp them in his everlasting chains, and they shall be stirred up to anger and to perish. Behold, in that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men, and stir them up against anger against that which is good. And others will he pacify and lull them away into carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion, yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And thus say the devil will cheateth their souls and leadeth them carefully down to hell. And others will he flatter away and tell them there is no hell, and he saith to them, I am no devil, for there is none. And thus he whispereth in the ears until he grasps them with the awful chains from which there is no deliverance. Speaking of our day, and so we need to be watchful unto prayer. But we say, that can't happen. Because we got the scriptures, it can't happen. But it has. Let us look at our own history just for a few minutes. God brought forth the Book of Mormon. By his power, it was translated into the English language and given to us as a witness, a testimony of the truthfulness of the Bible, because it tells the same story. In the early days, about the time the Book of Mormon was printed, those men were told to choose out 12 apostles before the church was organized on April 6, 1830. They didn't do it. Why? Somebody said no. On April 6, 1830, there was two that was ordained as elders. Joseph Smith was ordained by Oliver Cowdery as the first elder of the Church of Christ. And Joseph ordained Oliver as the second elder of the Church of Christ. No mention at that time, at least in history, that anybody was ordained as an apostle. Some of the history says that it happened. Another says, well, if it had happened, I don't think that anything that important would have been missed. It was not until 1835 that they ordained apostles in the Church of Christ. But before that, they changed the name of the church from the Church of Christ to the Church of Latter-day Saints. And realizing they left Christ's name out of it, they changed it to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And that name prevailed through the early history of the church. They ordained high priests. And high priests over this council, and high priests over that council, and presidents over this council. And somewhere along the line, they ordained Joseph Smith as prophet, seer, and revelator. Why? I give up. Because somebody thought it was good. After Joseph's death in 1844, the church was broken up into fragments. And the largest group went west to Utah. There was other things that transpired in that time too. They had, they was building a baptism font there in Nauvoo. And I think they had baptism for the dead. Why? Scripture didn't tell them to do that. Why? At Joseph's death, and there was a little group in Illinois, five congregations that was kind of left stranded. And they were searching for where to go and how to go, because some of them went to Utah, some went to Texas, some went to Tennessee, and one went to Michigan, up on Beaver Island, scattered about. That happened to the church. The church at that time was called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Why? Because they thought it was good. The little group there in Illinois, wondering where they belonged and what they should do. In 1857, declared an independence from the other factions of the church, that they did not want to be associated with those that was teaching false doctrines. Polygamy got into the story too, didn't it? Why? Because somebody liked the idea. Even though they declared their independence, they still carried with them some of those things that had gotten into the church. And it's been a real struggle, a real heart-wrenching struggle to weed them out. In fact, many have claimed that we was in a a quarrelsome people, because we was trying to find out what God really wanted taught. And sometimes our human nature got in the way. As I read here in this scripture, it said, some will say, I am the Lord's. Another will say, I am the Lord's. That little group went back to the church, name of the Church of Christ. Just shortly after they declared their independence. And they finally came back to Missouri and purchased this land that had been lost because they were driven out. We have a great heritage. We have a great responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. And so we have no excuse. We have the books. We know what is right, or at least we should know what is right. And as I said, the world back has been rather painful. But we have learned how to disagree without being disagreeable. We came a long ways. But it said there, as I read to you a while ago, that in many instances, they do err because they've been taught by the three sets of men. So I cannot throw out my chest and say, I am the Lord's, even though it is the Church of Christ. We are the Church of Christ because God ordained it that way. He said he would not do anything save he first told the prophets, and he has. In the 11th chapter of Revelation, it tells you what the church looked like. There's a woman clothed in white with a crown of 12 stars on her head and a moon under her feet. And she travailed to bring forth a child, a man-child. And Satan was waiting to destroy the man-child as soon as he was born. But the woman was taken away into the wilderness. And where is the wilderness? It was in the world. It also said that after she was taken away, that the Satan or the devil, the dragon, he called them all three names there in that scripture, made war on her seed. And that the earth, the dragon cast out of his mouth a flood of water. And the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed the water up. How did false doctrines get in the church back in Paul's day? John the Revelator's day? Because Satan put it there. Satan filled the earth with false doctrine to lead the people astray. It was said that there would be a drought in the land of the hearing of the word of God. That happened. History calls it the Dark Ages. When Christ was not here, he was not working with the people anymore. The church went into apostasy. About 588 BC. God gave Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, a dream. A dream that troubled his mind, but he couldn't remember what it was. Perhaps you have had one of those. Just wished I could remember. And so he called all of his astrologers and wise men together, and he said, "You tell me what my dream was and what it means to me, because it means something, I'm sure." And they said, "Well, you tell us a dream and we'll tell you what it means." He said, "No, I don't know what it is. You tell me." And so he was going to put them all to death, but somebody reminded him that there was one in his kingdom who was a Jew, or an Israelite, rather. And he can tell you. So they called Daniel. And Daniel said, "I will go inquire of the Lord." He came back and told him what it was. The king saw a great, huge image, a head of gold, the chest and arms of silver, the belly and thighs of brass, and the legs, the feet, the legs was iron, and the toes was iron mingled with clay, would not stick together. And Daniel told him that he, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, was a head of gold. But there'd be another kingdom follow him, inferior to him, but yet would overtake him. The Medes and the Persians. And follow that, there'd be another kingdom, Greece. And following that, a fourth kingdom, Rome, who became divided and had authority over all of Europe, the ten toes. And Daniel said, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, and it shall never be destroyed or left to other people." Well, as I told you the story, remember it came about one at a time. And he said, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom." And they all fell and destroyed one at a time. We know that Christ came during the reign of the Romans. And again, one at a time, one here and one there, those nations began to return to their own identity. But there's only one time in all the history of the world, so we are told, that they all existed at one time. Late in 1829, in the early months of 1830. No, our forefathers did not know what they were doing when they organized the church on April 6, 1830. But they were fulfilling the prophecy of Daniel. They were fulfilling the prophecy of John the Revelator in 14th chapter of Revelations, when he said, "I saw another angel flying through the midst of heaven and the everlasting gospel to preach unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people." That's what had happened. An angel brought the gospel back and gave it to us. But we still cannot throw out our chest and say, "We are the Church of Christ." But we are. But we cannot say we're right, because the Bible said, the Book of Mormon says, we're not. Many times we are taught by the precepts of men. I'd like to tell you a little story. About 1909, there was a baby born. in the city of Berlin. His name was Dietrich Bonhoeff, which interpreted means bean farmer. His family had a good background, and they had quite a good standing. But they did not attend church too regularly, but they did. There was some theologians in the family, as well as lawyers and doctors and what have you. But they were well educated and standing in Germany. Dietrich, at about 4 years old, for some reason thought he wanted to be a theologian, which did not sit too well with some of his family, but they figured he would forget it and choose something else. But then it grew and grew and grew, more intense as time went on. And eventually he did. Well, going back, his mother, Paula Bonhoeff, her maiden name was Haas, did not feel to turn her children loose in the public schools. And so she taught them at home. She taught them of God. She read them stories from the Bible. She taught them to be good children. And when they were older and able to think for themselves a little better, she did send them to the public schools. And finally, Dietrich went off to college, to a theological college there in Berlin, and he got a certificate. But he thought it was not enough. He wanted more training and more education. Where did he go? In 1930, he came to the United States. And he studied in the Union University in Harlem, New York, for 1 year. After he saw the situation, he decided he did not want to get his master's degree here because it wouldn't mean anything. Because he was able to teach in the school where he was attending to learn. And so he took the classes that he thought he most wanted to learn about. In 1931, he returned to Germany, and he said, "Something has happened here." Germany was basically Lutheran. They had the Catholic Church, but they did not call it the Lutheran Church. It was Lutheranism, but it was the German Christian Church. That they no longer believed in God. They no longer believed that Jesus was the Son of God. They thought he was a great prophet, but they didn't think that he was the Son of God. They didn't even believe in God. And time went on. You know, in 1830, 31, they were still trying to recover from the First World War. And they felt they were disgraced because of the decisions of the other nations of the world that they could not have an army big enough to defend themselves. And they were disturbed about that. And they said, well, you know, if England can have a Church of England, Germany can have a Church of Germany. And so they began to perform it. They said, you know, the Bible is nothing but a pagan fable of a nomadic people. And so they began to form their own doctrine. Dietrich was very concerned. At this time, Adolf Hitler was coming to power. And all of his lieutenants were atheists, did not believe in God either. The history says that Hitler himself was not an atheist, but he thought it served his purpose because he wanted to be the Führer. Do we know what the Führer means? The leader, the one and the only leader above God and all else. That was Hitler's dream. And he began to work towards that end. The final outcome was that the German Christian church made its own doctrine. Throughout the Bible, and to believe in God. Dietrich tried all he could. He pastored in Germany, he pastored in England, he pastored wherever he could. And he had an organization he finally formed to try to preserve the church, German Christian church. But it failed. They had the gospel. Why did it fail? Because they wanted it their way. They wanted it their way. Can it happen here? I've already told you that we have come a long ways. And what did happen here? I think probably Brother Richard can tell you in their study of the 9th and 10th chapter of 3rd Nephi what will happen here. The things are going to change. And it's up to us to make sure that we are on God's side. Not he on our side, but us be on God's side. We can only look at what's going on in our own land, throughout this great land of ours. And believe me, I think we're the greatest nation on earth. We have more liberties and more privileges and more opportunities than any place else in the world, as far as I can tell. But we're using them to the wrong end. We need to put God first. That was Dietrich's plan, his thoughts. I told you that they didn't attend church much, but as he learned and studied and worked with the people, he found out that God was number one. He was our leader and our only leader and commander. And there'd be no salvation to Germany without God. But he couldn't make it stick. They went ahead and formed their own church without the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. What happened to Dietrich? He was executed for treason. It can happen here. It's up to us to know or to be sure that it doesn't happen here. We know that this is a land of promise. And it's written that all who dwell here must serve the God of this land, who is Jesus Christ, or they'll be swept off. And it has happened. History tells us it's happened. Archaeological finds tells us it happened. What happened to those civilizations that was here? God swept them off. No, this nation will survive. Just like the one that Daniel said, that was never left to other people. Shall long endure and never left to other people. So it is this nation shall always remain. As long as the stars are in the heavens, it will be here. But will I? No, probably I won't, because my time is numbered. But some of you will see the great day of the Lord. It's very important that we know what the scriptures say and put the love of God first in our hearts, because that is our salvation. Germany went so far as to say that redemption was not good for this day in which we live. And if I cannot say it, a time of dog eat dog, where may the best man live. We can't be meek and mild and full of love and charity and kindness and goodness. We've got to be strong and determined to do it our way. But that's not the way of God. Dietrich loved the Sermon on the Mount, as do I. It's a basis for all that he said and done afterwards, to love our neighbor as ourself, and to love God with all of our heart, might, mind, and strength. I hope I have not bored you. I hope I have not discouraged you, because I am not. I am not discouraged. I'm not worried. I am concerned. I'm concerned for each of you as I am for myself, that we have a lot to do. This gospel has to be carried into all the world for a witness before the end comes, and the responsibility lies on our shoulders. We've got to be strong, not indifferent or belligerent, but with the love of God in our heart, and to his name's honor and glory. God bless you.